favorite spots to watch traffic in all of the Driftless region, live from Studio A. This is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
How you doing?
I'm all right.
Yeah. I'm glad to see you.
Hey, how you too?
Yeah. Again, beautiful day out.
It is.
Right. I'm not going to talk. I'm trying to refrain from talking about weather.
I mean, everybody can see there's no weather going on. It is 70
some. First time for a while.
Yeah. There's no big semi trucks. It's not pouring down rain. It promises to be a get out of the house and do some stuff weekend. It really does. Yeah.
Or go work.
Both. Yeah, just get up really early. Go do some yard work. Go to work. Maybe do some yard work with a headlamp on when you get home from work.
Oh, you want to be one of those guys.
I've been that guy, yeah. man. It's been a good week.
Yeah.
We've got some non-sport things and some actual sport things. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to let you get excited first and foremost because the big story locally for this studio, Justin Jefferson, 4 year, 140, is my reading that correctly?
Yeah.
$1 million contract.
110 of it was guaranteed.
Tell me about some of this.
So
I wrote
he's
down
now
some
the highest paid non-quarterback position in the NFL history.
Okay.
So they locked him up. I mean, with rights, and they should have. With the fact that Kirk Cousins left, which is, I think, a great thing, a positive thing.
Yes.
We'll see. It freed them up to be able to give that money to where they needed to, which is Justin Jefferson. He's the leader.
Yeah.
I mean, he's arguably probably, if not the best, he's the top three.
I can't name any wide receivers better
Jamar
than
Chase.
Him. No.
I mean, that's...
No, numbers-wise. I was looking at the numbers. Justin Jefferson is 98 yards a game, averages 98 yards a game for his career, which is the most in NFL history. That is, That is more than Jamar Chase. Averages 6.5 catches per game, which is like the second most, I believe, in NFL history.
Tyreek Hill?
No, none of those things.
Really?
Tyreek Hill is faster.
Yeah.
But more touchdowns maybe. But no. Justin Jefferson, by the numbers, is the best wide receiver in the league.
Right. I mean, you saw when he was out injured.
Correct.
Last year, how it affected him.
I mean, he had 1,000 yards receiving in 10 games. He had 1,000 yards receiving in 10 games last year, which is, I mean, he was on pace to put up incredible numbers.
Well,
yeah.
So not only that, on top of that, we had Jordan Addison, who had 1,000 yards, too, last year. So between the two, T.J. Hockenson.
That offense and Aaron Jones. That is the right way. They did it the right way. Because at this point, if you had signed Kirk Cousins last year or this year to that big deal, on the table would still be trading Justin Jefferson because you couldn't afford him. Because you'd say, well, we got Jordan Addison and T.J. Hockenson, and we need our quarterback paid. So you could trade, and that would be terrible.
Right.
There's not a real good history of trading a guy like that.
From what Coach O'Connell said and everybody else in that organization, they had said in interviews saying, he's the man. He's the man of the franchise. He does everything. You know, he never gets in trouble. You know, he's not overly outspoken like past like top receivers like Terrell Owens or Ocho or any of the guys like that, you know.
My kids are huge Justin Jefferson fans because he does the gritty. They've seen it. They watched a couple of those games. They've seen him. They've seen highlights of him. They know who he is.
He's a franchise guy. I mean, it was great. I knew that it was going to happen.
Sure.
The one article said that I read was that right after the season ended last year, they were in talks, and they thought it was going to happen then, but things just didn't happen the way they did. I guess there wasn't any doubt, according from Quincy, the GM, you know, because he had rumors all of a sudden about trades.
Which is always funny. Like, where do you think those stories of rumors even can start? You know, like when it was clear that neither one wanted to.
There was some intern in the room that was hearing the conversation, you know. But, you know, there was rumor. I mean, you could everybody was, you know, there's said three teams, I think, were calling, saying, hey, about this. And then the article says, well, they were considering. And then GM Quasey goes, no, it was never an option.
The word considering, like if somebody said, we're going to give you four first-round picks.
I took your call. That's
for Justin Jefferson. Yeah, the Texans are on the line. They'd like to offer you, well, we should consider taking the phone call because, you know.
You never know.
You're a professional. You have to maintain a relationship with the guy. You got to take phone calls. You got to at least listen out. But clearly, the other GMs in the league knew oh yeah, this guy's not going anywhere. Right.
But he's the leader now. Mm-hmm. In the interview he gave after everything this week was, I am now expected to be that man, the leader. I'm going to hold everybody accountable because we want to win, you know? So it's he says all the right things.
Sure.
Does all the right things.
25?
Yeah.
Something like, so he's going to be...
Because he's still... Yeah. He's in the last year.
He can still sign another deal just like this, right. 5 years from now. He made, it was $88 million signing bonus.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Right.
Not a bad.
I should have made a signing bonus every time I worked someplace.
It's right. Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Wouldn't have added up to $88 million, but it's, you know, give me some, I'd like, yes.
$88.
Also interesting to me that at $35 million a year, he's the highest paid non-quarterback.
Right.
But in the list of starting of quarterback for where it goes like highest paid actual players in the league, it works its way down. He'd be like, he's like the 12th highest paid player in the league, but he's clearly the one of the best two or three players in the league, which is should tell you. Joey Bosa is the other one, the 49ers defensive end. Same thing. He's the top of the top of the his. So yeah, there's also tells you how different it is to have a quarterback and paying a quarterback.
And it's kind of weird up until Christian McCaffrey's extension.
And Christian McCaffrey got signed this week.
It shows you the importance. You got quarterback at the top, and it used to be, you know, the defensive end or linebacker, those guys. Then maybe wide receiver right underneath the quarterback. And I think it's, I mean,
you're seeing it in the draft. There was how many wide receivers taken in the first round of a draft? This is six. It's a lot. There was as many wide receivers taken as quarterbacks.
Right.
You know, so that tells you exactly
but
how important
the wide
they
receiver,
are.
If you get the right one, and not only does it help you win, but it helps you generate that income. I mean, everybody as a casual fan or anybody out there, you know, you love it to see the big catch, touchdown,
those are real deal
the
score. Yeah.
You know, you're not going to get that necessarily with a running back. He's not typically going to go for a 50-yard run to score, usually.
You remember these Randy Moss against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. Remember, he had three catches for three touchdowns and 100 and some ridiculously.
Well, even the year before last, JJ against the Bills, that 100.
Oh, yeah.
When he was leaning back.
Yep.
I mean, that was highlights for highlights, you know. But you really don't get that with the running back right now.
And also, you don't get that with Kirk Cousins' highlights. So, luckily, you know what I'm saying? Like, they paid the right guy to get the right, people want the people watching their team. So, does that help? Does that do anything for their team next year? That doesn't win you any more games. That's just sort of
him signing.
Yeah, no, that's a.
Well, I mean, he's still on the team, so yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there was that possibility he wasn't going to be on the team after.
Now
next
that
year.
Really does make you that offense does look right. If you were rolling that out, you'd say, okay, they're still probably they're the second
they've
best
done
offense.
It's
in the in the division?
I mean, it's top five.
I still think the Lions obviously have the best offense in that division. The way they run and pass the ball.
I mean, you go San Francisco number one.
No, in the NFC North.
Oh, in North.
In NFC North.
Yeah, yeah.
The Bears are the worst.
Yeah.
But then it's a three-way tie sort of for...
It'll be an interesting season with everything that has changed with Chicago.
Yeah.
And we'll see if Jordan Love with this second full year of actually starting.
Yep. Nothing changed in Green Bay. Nothing changed in Detroit. A lot of things changed in Minnesota.
Jared Goff got his extension too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They paid him. He's getting paid more than Justin Jefferson, which is interesting.
I think it's gonna be a fun season. I mean, I think the last game of the year for Minnesota is Chicago's coming home or going to Minnesota.
And you'd like to think the way we keep talking about the schedule that these games are gonna mean something. Chicago's going to be a disappointment if they're 7-9 next year.
Correct.
Minnesota will be a disappointment if they're 7-10 or whatever wherever they finish.
There's some people though that are like, if Caleb Williams doesn't go and make it at least to the playoffs, what a disappointment! I'm just like, dude, it's his rookie year.
I mean, if you look at the amount of rookie quarterbacks who make the playoffs, it's a really, really, really short list. Yep. It's a Ben Roethlisberger, it's a Mac Jones, it's
C.J. Stroud.
C.J. Stroud recently. Yeah. It doesn't really happen all that often.
No, because usually those top quarterbacks are going to a team that's really bad, and it takes several years.
That's true, too, but also their numbers. I mean, generally, the rookie quarterbacks just aren't putting up C.J. Stroud numbers.
That was an anomaly.
That was very much... So that was That was your Vikings news. We put in football.
The second news.
It had been a couple weeks.
Yesterday, Vikings released their alternate jerseys. Did you see those?
I didn't.
Dude.
I mean, it makes good radio. Describe for me these Vikings jerseys.
Whiteout.
Oh, just really?
Whiteout with, and I think it's the purple just outline.
Interesting. Oh, I'll take a look.
I'll send it to you because they're...
Okay.
It's pretty cool.
I don't buy jerseys, but I do like when you watch the game on TV and all of a sudden you're like, oh, like my powder blue Chargers jersey that I happen to be wearing. I love an alternate jersey. They are
And those are actually gonna be, I think, that at that Chicago
game. Man, the NFL does it well, don't they? They really know
better than
how
baseball.
To get us, much better, yes.
But no, that's there. I'm gonna probably I looked at the NFL shop.
Mm-hmm.
Oddly enough, I could still get a Josh Dobbs jersey and a Kirk Cousins half
it's
off.
Vintage.
I can still get a Delvin Cook at number 4.
Really?
Yeah.
For any?
Yeah, yeah. It was like 70 some bucks yet.
Wow.
Eh, there's some diehard, Cook fans.
Yes.
Not that he's even on a team right now, but.
I was just going to ask, is he actually? No, he could make a
run. Not right now.
Maybe they're waiting for him to come back and be the backup running back to Aaron Jones, and then they can sell those jerseys.
I'd be all right with that, I guess.
Of course you would. Yeah, these.
I thought about the Jones jersey, too, just to get it.
Skip
but,
that.
But I'm like, it's like a one-off. And
it's going to be a one-year
like
wonder.
A Favre.
Yeah.
Just like a
Favre. No, it's just like a Favre.
Yeah, yeah.
Hope that works out for you.
Yeah. But that was the 2 minutes, Minnesota Viking.
And okay.
You know, mini practices and stuff like that going on.
Yeah, I haven't heard, and nobody's gotten hurt. I haven't heard. There's no,
no.
There's no controversy. There's no, like, battle, quarterback battles. There's none of that going on with any of the teams that I'm interested in.
Yeah. On a side note, backup D-line, I think, at Kansas City Chiefs went down yesterday with a seizure.
Wow.
And heart stopped.
Yikes.
Similar to...
DeMar Hamlin.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they canceled practice. And
sure, yeah.
I mean, it's weird how... Something like that when it's not in prime time doesn't get any attention. But
correct.
Man, that's the same. You know, on the field and around to all your players.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to give that out. So
oh.
Football.
Football, that's even in the offseason, football.
Hey, football.
What else happened in actual sport? NBA Finals started last night. You were wrong.
I'm wrong.
You were wrong on game one.
Yeah.
It was 107-89 Celtics. They were at a certain point. The Celtics were up by like 29. Luka Doncic by himself cut it to like 8, and then all of a sudden they were up 22. And that was it. It was they played
Kristaps,
and the difference was a Kristaps Porzingis.
There
nailed
you
it. Yeah, nope. He's a 7'3" Latvian. I want to say he was a former like top 3, top 5 pick of the Knicks a few years ago.
Dallas.
No, of the Knicks.
Was the Knicks?
He got traded to Dallas.
Oh, that's what it was? Okay.
Yep. But so he was, as you can imagine, being a 7'3" player, blocks a lot of shots. And as if you know anything about basketball, being a 7'3" player, he also gets hurt all the time. And he shoots a 3.
But he came off the bench last night.
He hadn't
too.
Played in about 5 weeks, came off the bench. It was a 20-point game per game scorer in the regular season. Came after 5 weeks and not playing. Came off the bench, scored 21 in 20 points, and he looked, I mean, he was the difference
right
in that game. The rest of the game was pretty even quarter wise, but when he was in, they won.
Because Dallas, other than Luke Doncic, there's no big real big man, is there, on that team?
They've got the Mavericks have they rotate their center down. They got a rookie that's played pretty well. They got another guy who gets minutes and it plays, but no, nothing like that. No,
right.
No player to equal.
Because I was watching highlights this morning, and the people that are guarding him were like 6'2 and 6'5, and it's like he looks right over him.
The NBA defense is based around a lot of switching,
right?
Because it's really hard to guard a guy one on one when there's a lot of screens and a lot of movement. So teams get really accustomed to switching, which is a reason why a guy like Drew Holiday, who was the best not an exciting player, but he was plus 20 when he played in the game. A guy like that who's 6'4" and can guard 1 through 4 becomes such a valuable player.
Sure. Where was he playing last year?
I was going to say, it reinforced for me just how bad that trade was. The Bucks could have Drew Holiday, their picks, all these different things, a bench. Instead of having Dame Lillard, they could be in a position, I feel like.
And their vacation,
Drew Holiday was the difference maker.
And right now they're vacationing in Cancun, so.
Correct. Yes. There's always next year, yeah. If you're a Bucks fan.
Yeah, I hear that as a Vikings fan.
Yeah. We'll get out. It's a terrible boat to be in. Yeah. But Celtics were really balanced. Their best players, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Jaylen Brown was playing fantastic defense. He set the tone early and often on both ends of the court, guarding people and making threes and doing everything on offense that needed to be done. And Jason Tatum is their best player. He's all NBA. He only had a double-double, 16 points, tons of balance. Like I said, Drew Holiday, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, guarded Kyrie Irving really, really well. Yeah. Kyrie Irving
had a really off night.
He needs to be the second best player in the series for the Mavericks to win this series.
Sure.
It needs to be Luka Doncic 1 and Kyrie Irving 2, because the rest of the Celtics are they have depth all the way through there. They have the best other like 6 players on the roster. So Kyrie Irving needs to do better than 6
for 19. Questions that everybody was asking this morning on the shows was, is this just a one-off game that Kyrie had a bad game, mm-hmm. or is this like, do you get worried that this is how it's going to be?
Well, Boston has a Kyrie answer. They have perimeter defenders. They have 2 perimeter defenders that are all defensive team.
Yep.
In Drew Holiday and Derek White. That is not something that Kyrie Irving had to face in any series at this point in the playoffs. And even in the regular season, there isn't that amount of... So that they have the answers. They can put their stars don't have to guard the best players on Dallas.
Yep.
One
of the other questions along with everything else was, you know, prior to last night's game was, well, Boston hasn't played anybody. With last night's game, they have won now 7 or 8 straight playoff games.
Yes.
Which is the best of the Celtics ever.
Really?
Yeah.
History stat like that. The Boston Celtics have been around basketball greatness for 50 years.
But that's the first time they've gone like 7 or 8 straight games in the playoffs, winning them.
Huh.
So they haven't lost one in 7 or 8 games.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, Drew Holiday is the answer. He still is. It's that trade wasn't good.
It's a balanced team, really.
Very much is. Yes.
So if Jaylen Brown and Drew Holiday can't do it, mm-hmm. Tatum can step in.
Correct. Yeah, Jason Tatum can go for 40 if it's needed.
Right.
Jaylen Brown too. He's an all-star.
Yeah.
Kristaps Porzingis has been an all-star. He's 20-point game scorer. Yeah. Drew Holiday, like I said, is an all-star. Can do everything on the court that he's asked to do. Yeah. No, I feel like if we would have asked, I would have said Boston in 6.
Yeah.
But even now, I don't think Dallas. I think Dallas wins a game somewhere in here because.
Sure.
They are, like, Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic are 2 of the best 5 players in the world, so they should win a game no matter who they're playing.
Sure.
But it sometimes feels like Boston has 6 players on the court.
You know, I also have always loved Jason Kidd as a player and, you know, even as a coach.
When he was the Bucks coach, he was a bad coach.
He was a young
coach, and they missed out. But there were times when he was the coach where he didn't do the right stuff. But yeah, as a player, he's one of my all-time favorite players.
Right.
I'm just old enough to have watched, to have Sports Illustrated for kids had him on the cover when he was a high school senior.
Sure.
And I was like a 12-year-old kid.
Yeah.
So I remember he went to college. He was with the Mavericks on some teams that I really, really liked. He played for the Suns on teams I really, really liked.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jason Kidd is one of the best fits.
And with coaching, like everything else, experience matters, you know. Ask Don Hurley.
Dan Hurley or Danny Hurts? Either one.
Dan.
Dan Hurley. Danny does make him sound like he's some little kid. No, Dan Hurley, coach of UConn.
That won 2 straight.
Back-to-back national championships last year, this year, is being looked at and being asked to coach the LA Lakers,
which I think is a smart hire.
It was a wonderful hire if you can get him. Yeah, right. It is. If you're the Lakers, that's an incredible hire because he's the best college coach, which makes him one of the best coaches in the world. Because the way, you know, the NBA is a young league. You're looking to develop culture. You're looking to keep young guys and get them. If you have young players, you want them to be great young players. Learn to play defense. Learn to play together. Learn to say the word we as much as you can. That's what Dan Hurley has done in a 10-year span of coaching Wagner, Rhode Island, UConn, and he could be on to the Lakers.
The Lakers.
The Los Angeles Lakers. That's a pretty good career arc. He is the son of basketball royalty. His dad is one of the greatest high school coaches of all time out in New Jersey. And his brother, Bobby Hurley, was one of the best college guards of all time, played for Duke.
Right.
Also, I don't think it happens. Because I'm not Dan Hurley, but he's bested everything in college. But man, pro coaches get fired. That's the problem with every pro coach is they get, unless you're Eric Spoelstra or Greg Popovich, you get fired. George Karl, one of the best coaches of all time, got fired over and over and over again. Coach Mike Krzyzewski turned down the Lakers gig when Phil Jackson retired.
Right.
And he was same thing. He was top of the food chain at Duke.
Haven't they had, like, Lakers since then? Like, 9 different coaches or something
Correct.
Like that?
Correct. That, I mean, you're working for a very high-profile owner in a high-profile city, in a high-profile league, where the players come and go really quickly. If you're the coach next year, you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
But the year after that, you don't know. You could be a... 5-win team. You don't know from year to year, but in college, you don't know year to year, but you can place a bet because you can treat it like the pros. You're paying these kids. You can look at them and say, you know, you're going to make $1 million a year here, and you're going to win, and you're going to go to the pros. They're already in the pros when they get to the Lakers.
Right.
So I'm not a fan of going to the pros.
I mean, the chances to – I don't think he's going to take it either, because I think in college, the chance to do a three-peat – would be
sure.
You know, I think that would. I mean, because I don't think any other.
We'd have to look. UCLA, I'm sure did back in the day because they won like 12 championships in 15 years. I'm sure, but
be able to do that or say that.
Yes.
You know, or you know.
I mean, I guess you if you make a 2 or a 3-peat, you're the best.
Right.
So, but I don't know if there's a job better in the league that's open than the Lakers, right? Like there isn't going to be a better position. If you could be the Bucks coach next year, is that a better spot than coaching the Lakers? Probably not.
Why would you want to go to Milwaukee when
correct.
You
can live well, why, that, LA, then, you that, know? That's just it. This might be, if you're but, Dan Hurley, this is your best opportunity to be.
LeBron had said in an interview that he said, I told the team to look for the future, not because of me.
Yeah.
So.
Which also, side note to that,
JJ Redick.
Almost all but guarantees that the Lakers will on draft night coming up next month draft Bronny James.
They won't.
100%. They, for the first time in a while, have first-round picks. They have second-round picks. They have all, if they can hire a Dan Hurley, they have a young-ish coach. They have a player development guy. They draft Bronny James. And why not? Because the NBA, drafting a guy anytime after like the top 3 or 4
sure.
or 5 is such a... not even a coin flip. There's less than a 50% chance that guy is going to be a useful, productive player. So if you can take a swing on LeBron James's kid and it keeps a LeBron James around for a year.
Well, I don't think he's going to leave anyway.
I mean, he's 40, so he's going to have to leave eventually.
No, but I don't think he's signed his, you know, so he's a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to go anywhere.
I think it's kind of one of those things. Everybody's going to try, but nobody's going to be successful
nobody
in signing LeBron
him.
James. He's a veteran minimum. He can sign for as little as he's made more money.
Yeah, but he's a businessman no matter what.
I don't know. I think he's back with them, but
I think Dan Hurley is where he wants to be, I think.
If you watched him, Dan Hurley is like explosively. He's yelled at fans, he's yelled at players.
Sure.
He's a screaming yelling guy. That doesn't do well in the NBA because you will get fined and suspended as a coach immediately if you start yelling at the fans. You're not allowed to do that. It'll be an interesting thing to watch. That does make it.
I don't think it's going to happen. They're going to offer him because the way I hear it too is that a decision like that is a family thing because his wife has.
You say that, but man, if you get you and your wife on the plane, and being told like anything you want, we'll give you the school, we'll give you the house, we'll give you the place and the thing to be as successful and anything you want, you can have. And now would you like to now be offered all the money in the universe to do this? I mean, once you're on the plane, man, it's hard to turn down, you know, that.
I've been on that plane over the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
Money is not it.
I mean, there's that plane. I've never been on a private jet for that offer. So once that offer is made, it's hard to also once you've that offer has been made as the coach, you got to start back. Recruits are going to know, oh, this guy's on his way out. Yeah. So it's sort of
they
at UConn.
They have 30 days to go with the transfer program, so, for sure.
So at UConn, if he's looking to – if there's some high school juniors out there, you don't want it known. You either are the Lakers coach or you are the UConn coach. You can't
it'll
be one or the other.
What's
there
today?
Cannot be an on-the-fence thing. And once they know you're going to leave – you know, the next job might be just as appealing, might be a little more appealing. So, you know, like I said, where there's smoke, I generally tend to
I would assume to make headlines, I would say probably it's a Friday. It'd be a Monday thing, I would think.
Yeah, that feels right.
We'll know on Monday. They'll have a decision on who. So I'm assuming right now it's J.J. Redick or Dan Hurley.
You got to take Dan Hurley. J.J. Redick's never been a coach before.
Yeah, I know.
That's a I don't like that. That J.J. Redick as a coach is silly. He's not a coach yet. He's an analyst.
If he gets hired.
It'd be like hiring Stephen A. Smith to coach the Knicks.
It'd be fun to watch.
But not good.
No, I didn't say that, but it'd be fun just to see the debacle and dumpster fire.
Man, we made it almost the entire thing.
You didn't talk any Brewers.
It was the last thing on my list.
You've got two
good.
And a half.
That's all I need. That they don't really, they're 36-26, 10 games over 500. First in the division by 5.5 games, just like they were last week and the week before. They, in the last week, swept the worst team in baseball, the White Sox, then got swept by the Phillies, the best team in baseball. Like, as you could probably predict, next week they have three teams that are all right at 500, Tigers, Blue Jays, and Reds. So I'd expect them to split all those games, too. Seventh best slugging percentage in the majors, which is pretty impressive considering the lack of like high-end talent that they have on that roster. They don't have a lot of $30 million players on that roster, so they're hitting.
How many games up are they in the?
5.5 games up.
Oh.
With 62 games in, 164 game season. So I mean, they have so many pitching injuries.
Yeah.
Four of the pitchers who are in their starting five to start the season are on the disabled list. That is a real problem. I've seen they had a guy, Jared Koenig, pitch the first time in like 20 years. A guy pitched two back-to-back. He started back-to-back games, pitched one inning in both games. He was the opener for two games in a row. But that's the type of they're pitching a guy one inning, then four innings, and then two innings, and then an inning. It's a really – you can't win in the postseason like that.
Sure.
So the Brewers, for the first time in a very long time, need to be buyers in the trade market. Trades – They are going to be amongst a really short list of teams that are going to be looking for pitchers. So we can talk about next week some of the guys.
Are they, though? Will they?
They need to, yes. Well, because they have a very deep farm system. They have young position players already on the team. They have the capital to do it. So they need to be in the market for making that trade. So that'll be, like I said, next week. I want to talk a little bit about
that. We didn't talk about wrestling. Next week.
I'm going to write it in the
JJ.
Pro. Yeah, I'm going to blame the Vikings for not talking about pro wrestling this week. Yeah. Good call. We'll talk about pro wrestling. We'll talk about Brewers trade targets.
I literally remembered it now. So.
And OTA minicamps. Boy, that is some good talks. I like all that stuff. This has been a pretty darn solid and productive show.
Okay.
For all intents and purposes. Is there any... I had on my list of other things like... I don't know, top summer spots now that it's officially summer, but I can't really describe that in 20 seconds, other than go to the KVR and hike around.
Yeah.
That's about it. I'm going to talk next week about summer things
and
sports things. Thanks for WDRT letting us open up the doors. Thankfully, you have a key. Thanks for showing up and pushing buttons.
Yeah, you bet.
This has been super, super fun. Have a really, really great weekend, everybody. Bye.